This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanizan and Noel Lim. 7:07 a.m, Wednesday the 2nd of December, and in about 15 minutes we're going to be speaking with Naziha Mohammed Noor, researcher and co-author at Khazanah Research Institute, on KRI's latest State of the Households report. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
Yes, very quickly, the US markets, the Dow Jones up 0.6%, S&P 500 up 1.1%, NASDAQ up 1.3%, and it was a green day for Asian markets.
And if we take a look at the Asian markets that Noel mentioned there, a very green day. Japan was up 1.3%. Hang Seng almost up 1%, was up 0.9%. Korea was up 1.7%. Shanghai was up 1.8%. Singapore lagging behind there, up 0.3%. And the KLCI up 2.5%, passing that 1,600 mark that we so love, way below that 1,800 mark we used to see back in 2018, though.
This morning, to give us more insight into some of these global markets, we have on the line with us Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Jack, good to speak with you this morning. Now, another big IPO on the horizon is Airbnb Inc., which is seeking a value of $35 billion, or between $44 to $50 a share. Will you be subscribing? And I mean, should we value it as a tech, a hospitality stock, or some kind of a hybrid?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me on. Will I be subscribing? I mean, if I could get some, I probably would subscribe to it. I mean, this is a phenomenal company. I know it's still losing money. It has run a profitable third quarter for the last 3 or 4 years. It has been obviously hit by the coronavirus. But if we look at the way we're traveling, the way we're staying at places, and the gig economy and the sharing economy that was so preeminent before the crisis, and I think is going to be preeminent after the crisis, and I think this thing's got legs. I think it's going to be oversubscribed. You know, how we see it, I think it's a combination of a tech company, a hospitality company, and a property company, and part of that gig economy that we continue to talk about that's continuing to increase, and an area that I really like and am bullish on. So the question is, can I get my hands on it? I think it's going to be oversubscribed. I think you're going to see a lot of demand for this, and I think you're going to see a big pop on the open when it IPOs. So I would, if I could. Yes, definitely.
All right, jumping over to some other tech names here, Jack. We've got, it looks like Slack and Salesforce will be tying the knot for in what looks to be a $28 billion deal. What do you think is the rationale behind behind Salesforce's move here? Is it a play to compete with Microsoft or something a little different?
Yeah, it's a direct shot across the bows at Microsoft, undoubtedly. Now, remember, these two companies have been going at it for quite a long time. They both bid on LinkedIn a couple of years ago, and Salesforce missed out on that. So, you know, it's a direct shot at Microsoft. They both went at LinkedIn a couple of years ago. They're both in this SaaS cloud software space. They're both trying to compete for this. You know, Microsoft is a little bit behind on the CRM space, and Salesforce is a little bit behind on the chat or the Teams kind of, you know, workspace. In this acquisition of Slack, which has over 100,000 customers or businesses worldwide, an enormous amount of data, and integrates really well within the CRM system, makes a lot of sense for this company. This company is a phenomenal firm. It's led by, I think, one of the best CEOs in the world in terms of Mark Benioff. They have, you know, paid a lot of money. It's a premium to the share price, but it fits in vertically and horizontally to where this company is, and it creates these two big powerhouses in this, you know, in this sector that's going to continue to grow as we become more comfortable from working from home and working remotely. So I think it's a really good acquisition for both sides. I mean, Slack was underperforming slightly. It was losing ground to Teams because it's integrated in that, you know, Microsoft suite. So a phenomenal company, one to watch, and actually I think is, you know, a strong buy for me off the back of this acquisition that they've done.
Jack, when we take a look at Microsoft, though, it's a $1.6 trillion company. Salesforce is about $220 billion. Slack is maybe, I think, another $30 billion on the market cap there. Do you think this move by Mark Benioff and co. will take a bit of shine out of the Microsoft, in terms of its attractiveness, attraction to investors?
Yeah, I know we talk about these $1.6 trillion and 1.7. I think the top four are going to $2 trillion, Roshan. I think they're going to do it, you know, by the mid of next year. You know, you just talk about these businesses, and we've talked about this a lot on this show when I come on. Something like a Microsoft is very, very well diversified. They are in plenty of sectors, bringing in revenue. You know, we use them every single day. They're part of our daily lives. And from there, you know, they build bases into revenue. So look, you know, it's a big play for Salesforce to take on someone like Microsoft. And it's, as you said, they dwarf in terms of market cap, but nothing takes the shine off what has been a great run company for the last 15 years in terms of Microsoft. And again, I go back to my old playbook. Big cap tech should be a part of any core portfolio and really should be overweight big cap tech going forward. And I continue to say that like a beaten drum, but it's something that I truly believe.
Salesforce has been on an acquisition trail. How successful has it been in integrating all these products, or they're still operating in silos?
Yeah, I mean, Tableau was not a bad acquisition. They have spent a lot of money, but they've done really well. I don't know the specifics of those previous acquisitions, but you are right. They have been on an acquisition trail, but I can only talk about their profitability and their earnings, and they have been outstanding during this time, and they continue to grow in that cloud SaaS space. So look, I look at the leader sometimes, and I think that's a moat. You know, we talk about moats in businesses, and leadership is a moat for me. And when I look at someone like Mark Benioff, really hasn't got anything wrong in the last 5 to 6 years. If it's good by him, then it's good by me, and it should be good by shareholders in the future.
All right, Jack. And at the same time, with a vaccine-led market euphoria sweeping Asia, do you have your eye on small or big caps in this region? I mean, will tech stocks still be dominant once vaccinations start rolling out?
It's a Goldilocks euphoria. I want to talk about it. And it's not even an Asian euphoria. This is a global euphoria. I mean, we're seeing markets everywhere rally at this point in time. We're seeing Europe, which I've told you was a basket case on many occasions, lead the rally. We're seeing an enormous rally in Asia. And I actually just want to make this point. I actually think the US is being led by Asian markets. It's not the US leading other markets anymore. It's the Asian openings in Singapore, in your hometown in Malaysia, here in Australia, and of course in China, that is leading the market forward, leading Europe and then the US into these rallies. So I want to make that clear. When I look at Asia, there's only one country for me, and that's China. And that's where I'm focusing, and you know that. There's a few names that I really like out of there. I really like Youku, which is their Square with a quasi-Stripe type of play out of there. I love Xiaomi with this 5G rollout and their phones. They've got a great range of phones, reasonably priced in order to come out with this 5G rollout. That's one. I really like Agora, which is an API cloud system within China, really concentrates on that gaming area. And if you want to talk about big cap tech in China that's maybe a little bit undervalued or underappreciated, I want to look at NetEase, which is in that gaming industry, which is booming. And I think they're really challenging Tencent's foothold on the Chinese gaming sector and the Asian gaming sector. So those are a few of the names that I really like going forward, particularly out of China.
But when you talk about big cap in China, and especially with tech, Jack, what are your thoughts on Tencent and Alibaba?
Yeah, we touched upon this last week. And you know that I've been a big fan of these two companies. I'm a bit concerned about Chinese regulation, particularly on these two firms. And we talked about this last week, you know, as the Chinese government coming out and saying this is a who's your daddy moment, which was quite popular when I posted that on Instagram. So, you know, they're coming in on them hard. They're saying you're too big. We want to regulate you. If you've got more than a 50% share in what we call the online economy rather than the offline economy, then we want to bring you in line. And the Ant Financial scrapping of the IPO was a perfect reason for that. And the only reason that I'm wary of these two companies right now is particularly around the payment sector. So let me explain this to your listeners out there that are listening. So when someone like Ant Financial or even Tencent through WePay lends money to a client or an end user, they are usually putting up about 2% of $100. So you lend $100, they're putting up $2 of that $100. What the Chinese government is now saying is we want you to lend up to $30 of that $100 when you're lending out. And that brings the valuations, or more importantly or specifically, the multiples you bring to these companies in question. Do you start treating them more like banks or those arms about being banks? So that's a bit concerning for these mega cap tech. But then in saying that, you had Pinduoduo, Tencent only reported last week, all did really well. So I'm kind of looking outside those big two and looking outside of these emerging tech plays within China. And there's plenty of them that are growing exponentially.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Jack. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, still quite a bull on China as well as on tech stocks. But we're about to head into some messages right now, and then up next, we're speaking with Nazeha Mamnoor, researcher and co-author of Khazana Research Institute's latest State of the Households report. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.